Good morning, everyone, and good morning to those worshiping in Minnetonka, in Woodside, and those worshiping online. We're just delighted that we can be together. I have my Better Than Brunch shirt on. I'm not a logo shirt kind of guy, I'm going to say that, but for this cause, I will. And it's all part of the exciting things that God is doing and the opportunities we have to reach people with the love of Christ. In fact, I'm going to invite you to take out your teaching notes as I continue this series called Pathways. It's really in reference to a new discipleship pathway. We've been working for several years on this, literally. So we've been excited to finally roll it out. It's been a lot of energy and attention to try to simplify the pathways to two things, to spiritual growth, how it is that we grow spiritually, as well as to connection to community. How do guests find a way and on-ramps to better connection in a larger church? We're using these four words as a frame of reference. You'll hear them everywhere, and you've been hearing them. First word is worship, belong, serve, and go. And I want to ask you to share it with me because it's going to be part of our vernacular. Let's get used to it. So join me. Worship, belong, serve, and go. Today, I want to talk about go. And we all have opportunities. We're invited to go to so many great things, good events, so many opportunities we have in our lives to go to different things. And we have to make decisions about them all the time. And sometimes they're just fun little things, but they matter and they're important. We got an invitation, Carrie and I did, from our son who works for Sports Engine, which is owned by NBC in the northeast part of Minneapolis. And it's this new startup doing really well, a lot of fun, very creative people that are there. And our son called us a couple weeks ago with an invitation for us to go to a special event that they were hosting there. And I said, well, what's the event? The event is called Parents Day. Bring your parents to work day. Isn't that goofy? I mean, it's just unbelievable to me. My wife immediately says, count me in. I'm coming. She wants to be part of it. I'm hesitant, and I'm going, like, what do they do? Why would I come to your workplace and see you do your work? You know, so they're picking up on the days when kids would follow and shadow parents, but now the kids are inviting the parents to shadow them. So I'm just like, do I really want to go to this? I mean, and I'm hesitant, and I don't say yes. In fact, he keeps texting several times over the days before the event. Are you coming? Are you going to go, Dad? Are you going to go? I don't even respond to it. I'm just like, what? What do they do there? I don't know what they're going to do. He says, the night before the event, Carrie's going to go without me at this point, and I make a decision to go. And so we show up. It's over 3 hours long. Come on. Hours count. We got to hear from the owner and the founder, and he cast the vision and their values. It was really well done. We got a tour of the space. We got to shadow our son, so we went to his little workplace there and watched him work on the computer. I thought there should have been a picture of mom and dad with him, but his kids were there. It was all right. I'm okay. I'm over it. And and then we end by leaving, and they give us this beautiful gift bag. It was well worth the time for just the gift bag. And then they have a photographer. We're getting pictures with our son as we go. It was just bizarre. But what creative marketing I think that they're all about. But I think about it when I left the event, I thought, isn't that how we are sometimes when we get invitations from God? Sometimes some of us are, yes, we're all over it. Count me in. I'm going to be part of it. And sometimes it's like we're really hesitant. What's going to happen there? Let me think about that particular invitation. And in fact, we find that God does give an invitation. It's actually a command. And some of us say yes to it immediately. But most of us are really hesitant to say yes. In fact, the research shows that most Christ followers will not do what the Lord calls us to do by the time they leave this earth. And what does he call us to do? In Matthew 28, gives this beautiful commission. He says, really simply, all authority, and the emphasis is on all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, and I'm going to give it to you. Go, therefore, and make disciples. And yet most people, Christ followers, will not share the love of Christ with somebody else in their lifetime. But he calls us to go. There's two things from that little text that stand out to me. First of all, green is God's favorite color. Maybe. Because green means oh, good, you connected the dots on that. Thanks, I wasn't sure. All right, and then secondly, disciples are really important to what God wants to do in making the story of God and his love known. Go make disciples, not a word we use all the time. It's followers of Christ. Go as disciples, make disciples, that those disciples would make disciples and those disciples would make disciples. So there's this multiplication dream that we have. And disciples are really about the discipleship process. And so part of our journey these last couple of years is to define a really simple definition of discipleship. And over these weeks, we're presenting it to you as simply being and living like Jesus. It's a simple way to remember it. It's being and living like Jesus. That's what it means to be a disciple. It starts with who we are, our being. Flowing out of who we are is what we do and how we live. And how we live and what we do is to include the going and the sharing of the love of Christ, which is why in February we cast the 10-10 vision. 10 vision. For those who are guests, we cast a vision to go to people here, near, and far with the good news of Jesus Christ. And so we're about that right now. We're getting ready to launch our next multi-site on Thanksgiving weekend, November 25th, at Bush Lake Campus off of 494 and Bush Lake Road. This past week, we did a pastor-director retreat over at that given site. And we were all just like, wow, it's incredible. That space is going to be used by God in great and mighty ways. Very excited about it. And secondly, we got an update on where they are right now in the planning and the people that are going. And it was a wow. We have hundreds of people going or considering going to Bush Lake, which is a shout out to Minnetonka because they have families, even though they're an early start for us. There are a number of families going, as well as many from our Woodside worship experience and here in our worship room in Chanhassen as well. But it's just going to open up all these opportunities for us because hundreds of people will go, which means hundreds of seats will be available and space in our children's ministry. And so therefore, we are hosting the Better Than Brunch concept, that we are going to invite people to come and fill in these spaces. As some people go there, we're going to invite people to come here in Minnetonka and Woodside and here in our worship center. And it's so important, but can I say with all honesty that it's the easiest part of going? To invite somebody or to take a Better Than Brunch card and give it to somebody and say, come to our church. We want to encourage you to do that, pick up the card, but it's the easiest thing we do. The harder thing is to personally go in your sphere of influence and invite people to know the presence of Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to encourage you, and I want to teach a little bit around that. You can see that there's all kinds of shoes here that are on the platform right now because, and I'll plant this seed, it's going to invade your comfort zone a little bit. I'm going to invite you, if you feel prompted, no shame involved with it at all, we're not a shaming culture at all, if you want to join in on this, to take off your shoes as a representative symbol of what God calls us to do in our going. Let me explain it a little bit more this way. Have you ever found yourself being asked to do something that just seems beyond what you can do or want to do? Well, in your head, you begin to hear this voice, and it says, I can't do that. You might be a student, and all of a sudden, you're required to take a subject class that you just are completely frightened to take because in your head, you're thinking, I can't do that class. Or you might be a parent dealing with a stressed out kid or a kid that's going through some major issues, things that you've never dealt with before in your life, and you're going, I can't do this as a parent. Don't know where to go. Or you might be an employee who has an employer who gives you an assignment that you've never done before. They give it to you thinking you'll just figure it out. But in your head, you're thinking to yourself, I can't do that. But all of a sudden, you step into it, and you begin to see that you can do that. And your mind gets stretched and your heart gets enlarged and your confidence rises and it becomes easier as we step in to those opportunities to do what the Lord asks us to do because it's an amazing thing. Jesus tells us to help people come back to God the Father. In fact, he purposes us to be his instruments and change agents to that end. And yet many of God's people think, I can't do that. But he promised, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to us. Go, therefore, and make disciples. It's not a multiple choice kind of statement, right? It's something that he calls for us. This Greek word for the practice of helping people find their way back to God is euangelion, from which we get the English word evangelism. But unfortunately today, that word and that practice has been so misused and abused that most people will associate the word evangelism with a root canal. And how many of you want a root canal? Nobody wants a root canal. And so we go, no, that's for somebody else. I'm not going to do that. But that's not what the word means. It's been hijacked in the wrong directions. The word euangelion, evangelism, this is what it means, as literal as we can put it into the English, the bringer of good news. How many of you like to share good news with somebody, whether it's general or specific good news? Raise your hand. Let me just see that. Who doesn't like to share good news? Hey, I got some good news for you. Oh, it's what a powerful thing it is. We love the lift that comes with good news. That's what evangelism is. It's sharing the good news. And so how do we share that good news? What I'd like to share with you today is what we call the three P's of euangelion, of bringing the good news, so that people could hear and come to believe in Jesus Christ. And I want to do it with a construct. I'm going to draw on this board right here with the idea that we're visual people and therefore having the opportunity to see it might just put it into your head a little bit more. So let's look at the three P's. I'm going to build for you a home. And the foundation of the home, or the main level of the home, has a door. So I'm going to call this first P, presence. And the presence piece has to do with the doorway of entry. And the doorway of entry will have a specific result that we'll get to in just a moment. But it's being present with people in their story with the hope that the story of God would meet them. But it's just being present with them. Matthew 5 shows the simplicity of it. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. That is, that word glorify is also translated praise. That they would praise the Father in heaven because you exist and are present in their life. Because the goodness of God is in you. And they see it, and you show up, and you care, and you help, and you encourage, and you come alongside of them in a special way. It's called being present with people. And it's the doorway of entrance into their life. It's the doorway to their soul that opens them to even trust you for your life, what you believe, and how you enter into it. We put the legs to that with what we call the three laws of love around here. And they're really simple laws of love. For those who are guests, we speak on them many times in different ways. But let me just at least state them again. The first law of love is to see people the way God sees people. And I love the fact that God sees people from the inside first, not the outside. Because in our humanity, we see the outside of people. And we make judgment and sometimes keep a distance because of what we see. But every person is created in the image of God, and he sees the inside. I, for one, am glad that when I was far away from God, that God didn't look at the externals of my life and the choices I was making. He looked at my heart that longed to know that he was real, that I could have a relationship with him. And he came to me because of that. It's a call for us to see people the way God sees people, from the inside first, that they have a longing to know God. Even though you might have judgment when you look at them and say, I want nothing to do with you, oh, their heart beats. It may be covered with sin or brokenness or distractions, but it beats for a relationship with God. The second law of love is to treat people the way you want to be treated. It's the golden rule. Wouldn't you like to put a bucket of that, a dose of that, into the political arena today? It would really make a difference in the journey if we could just treat people the way we want to be treated. And the third law of love, of course, is to love people the way God loves us. And oh, how God loves us. You know, it's only as we stop, get off the hamster wheel of life, the tyranny of the urgent, you know, all the things that we do, we pause and we stop and reflect on the generosity of God's love to us that we get in touch with his heartbeat. And it undoes us. It changes us in every way. It has for me in my life. It's changed how I've entered into marriage. I questioned for a long time. I come from a family history of divorce on every side. Could I be in marriage? And could it stay together? I'm glad to announce we've been together 37 years. That's a good news day from my perspective, you know. Or could I raise kids in a way that would be helpful to them? Or, you know, my vocational direction, what would it mean? His love has changed every step that I've taken in my life and my journey. His love does that. It's a powerful thing. And so we get this invitation with presence to come alongside and be present with people in their life and their journey. And when we do that, there's a result that happens. And the result is important because people feel loved. they find help, and they're drawn to God. If somebody opens the door of their soul and their life for you to enter in, that's a holy place to be. And if you respect that and enter into that space and bring the goodness of God through presence evangelism, the good news by just being good, it will draw their heart so that they would praise the Father in heaven. That's the first P. The second P is what I will call the windows of opportunity in our little construction project here. And this is proclamation. Proclamation also has a result that I'll communicate in just a moment, but this is the windows to the soul. Now you have entrance, but how do they begin to move into a place to hear the name of Jesus? Proclamation is saying the name of Jesus out loud. Many of you are familiar with the quote, preach the gospel at all times, use words if necessary. I've heard that so many times. And you know what it is? It's a quote from St. Francis of Assisi, supposedly. And I will tell you that if you do a fact-finding search on that on Google, it is not a quote from St. Francis of Assisi. It's been taken completely out of context and it's become kind of an escape clause. If I do the presence thing okay, and I'm just present with people and I'm good to them and I show kindness and love to them, then I don't need to speak words. But the Bible doesn't say that at all. The story of God needs to be told out loud with a sense of urgency and clarity. Paul makes it clear in Romans concerning the weight of it. How then can they call on the one that they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? Look what it says here. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. What a powerful little text. How beautiful are the feet, speaking to where we go. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Why? Because God gave us a commission to go. And we're saying yes, puts a smile on the face of God when we go where he wants us to go. And we go and we begin to share the love of Christ in this arena of proclamation. And it's so important for us in that journey. And it makes a difference because those rhetorical questions that get raised, how can they believe or how can they call on the one they haven't believed in? And they can't. That's the point. How can they believe in the one that they have not heard about? They can't. That's the point of the question. How can they preach unless they are sent, unless somebody goes? Well, they can't. Somebody has to go. We are called to go. That's the picture we have in those rhetorical phrases. Beautiful feet to go to people and to bless them with the goodness of God's name. And so it's an invitation for us to walk across a room, walk across a street, walk across a cubicle, and to become blessers rather than converters. So let me just take a lot of pressure off of you. You're going to love this part of it. Do you see yourself as a blesser or a converter? There's a book called Missional Entrepreneur, and it's by Mark Russell. It's really insightful. He's got a chapter in there, and he talks about two mission teams that were being sent to Thailand. And they each had, it was a study that was done on these two mission teams at the same time. They're both going into Thailand, but they each have their own specific strategy. And one is intending to go to convert as many people as they possibly can. And the other are intending to go to bless as many people as they possibly can, believing that there will some people who will respond and come to salvation. So they did this study 2 years with these two teams. And at the end, they showed the outcomes, and they're extraordinary to see the outcomes. The blessers, in fact, bring about incredibly greater social good and impact than the converters do because they're meeting the felt needs of people. And Jesus met felt needs on his way to meet spiritual needs, and blessers go about doing it that way. This is what was astonishing, that the blessers had 50 times more conversions than the converters. That's fascinating to me because the door of entry was made open so that then the window of opportunity became clear, and more than 50 times the number of people came to salvation in Jesus Christ through the blessing strategy. And that's not new to us because God initiated this whole thing in Genesis 12, 1 through 3, which serves as the very purpose statement of Westwood, that we are called to be a people who bless. God says to Abram, I'm going to bless you, and through you all nations will be blessed. So we put a simple bless strategy. How do you go about specifically blessing people? We use BLESS as an acronym. We've taught on it in years past. Let me just give you a summary. And by the way, you can go onto our homepage and you can just click on the BLESS box. It will take you right to a series of videos that Pastor Brian Suter and Zach Bush created that speak to each of what the acronym stands for. But if you recall, the B stands for Begin With Prayer. It starts there. We begin to pray for people where they are, no matter where they are. And then it goes to the L, which is to listen to them, which, by the way, this is active listening. It may be different than how you understand listening. Active listening is listening to the point of understanding where they are. This is so important. When you're listening to someone, don't hijack the conversation. We lean toward that. Sometimes somebody's saying something, we're formulating our thoughts, what we want to say in return, and then all of a sudden we take the conversation when the door of opportunity may have just opened up and it just shut because we made it about us instead of about them. Ask them questions. What did you mean by that? What do you feel about that? What do you think about this? Let them open up themselves and the opportunity of their souls so that we can get to the window of opportunity of better understanding, listening to where a person truly is. And then the E, you love this one, is to eat with them. Who doesn't love to eat with people? In fact, God is a table God. You know that. If you read the scriptures, you find a lot of his initiatives happen around the table. There's the upper room. There's the great feast that's before us in Revelation. But things happen at the table. And once you agree you love sitting around a table and having good food and good conversation, the door of opportunities are the door of entry really do open up to the windows of opportunity when we eat together. And then we serve them in sometimes very simple ways. It can be a card. I just recently was brought to my attention a card that I wrote to somebody years ago, and they kept it and read it back to me. And I thought, why did you keep that card? At the time, that card really meant something to that person. I had no idea. That was just a simple card of encouragement for where they were. It was far greater than that. It can be a simple card or phone conversation. We meet a need. As Jesus met felt needs, it opened the door to meet spiritual needs. And then we share with them, which is really the proclamation. The proclamation says the name of Jesus is to be spoken out loud. Everybody loves to speak the name of God. It only gets uncomfortable when you speak the name of Jesus. But it's Jesus who's the revealer of the story of God and the love of God, and he calls us to move in that given direction. We're called to be blessers. That's not new to any of us. We understand the importance because that's what God did with us, with each of us. And the result is that people hear and they understand. Doesn't mean they always believe, but they have an understanding that's greater and different, which takes us to the third P in the journey, which is persuasion. I call it the rooftop of God's grace, and it's fueled by the power of the Holy Spirit, and this is called persuasion. And persuasion is simply this picture of the Holy Spirit doing the work to bring us to faith. GPs, God promptings, the Holy Spirit does it. Do you not find relief? The pressure is off. You don't save anybody and you can't save anybody. Ephesians 2 reminds us of the importance of this, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. I love that line. The Lord knows us so well that we are quick to take credit. I saved this person. I shared the gospel with them. They came to Christ when in fact we're saved by grace through faith, not by works. It's not because of us. It's always by grace. I find this third P to be so freeing because I'm not under pressure. I get to just be with people to bless them. I'm not trying to convert anybody. We're blessers along the way. What a joy it is to embrace that given role of blessing in our journey. And the result is that people believe. This is common sense to me in this whole deal. The common sense that God has a heart for you and for all the people of the world, for God so loved the world. And little boys and girls and grown men and women have a heart for God. We're made in the image of God to know him and to love him. And somehow God has provided as the means to connect his heart to the heart of people to be us. we are his ordained means to accomplish his holy purposes on the face of the earth. I don't know why he includes us in it, because what we see is our own sinfulness and waywardness. But no matter where you are in your faith journey, if it's authentic and sincere, it can be used of God to be light in the lives of others, even though we're all a work in progress. Don't wait for the time when you're going to finally grow up, because it ain't happening until you die and go to heaven, okay? Was that clear enough? That's called glorification, but it's sanctification now when we're growing up in the ways of Christ. So let me just sum this up in a simple way. A couple years ago, I gave an invitation, which, by the way, the result of that is to believe. So then the Holy Spirit prompts us to believe, which is simply to receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of our lives. And as I think about where we are in this time in Westwood's journey and what it means for us, I go back to the invitation I gave a couple of years ago, and we've been living in it. I really believe these three things. They all come from the scripture. If we embrace these three things, it's so simple. The blessing of God is going to blow through your life, through your family's life, and through our own community. I really believe there's that much power in these three simple things. First of all, I invited us to take a next step to grow your faith. Wherever you are, just take a next step and watch God begin to work in and through you. Secondly, to walk across the room to share your faith, not just in goodness and presence, but in proclamation. And third, to open our hands with unprecedented amounts of mercy to come alongside of people in need. You know, Jesus comes to us through the poor, the disadvantaged, the troubled. And when we make that a priority of our own lives, our faith does grow up. Our longing to share the good news of Jesus Christ increases, and God is honored through the generosity that comes through that initiative. They all work together. Let me ask for just a moment, if you would just pause. In your sphere of influence right now, would you just allow the Lord to bring a person, their face, and their name to you right now? The Lord has given you a gift, an opportunity to go and to bless, to have beautiful feet in your going. I want to encourage you, if you do, your faith will grow and your joy with it. Your desire to share with others will increase, and many will be blessed in that journey. You know, this whole idea of impacting with Better for Brunch is a fun way to do it, but as I said, all of us can do it. There's no sweat off your brow by giving an invitation to say, I'd love to have you come to our worship services at Westwood, and here's the times, and you give it to them. So easy. No, the issue is right here. Am I willing to share the name and the beauty and the story of God's love through Jesus Christ with people in my sphere of influence? That's the call that he gives to us, and that's where it gets really personal. So I share even in my own story this truth. You know my story if you've been here any length of time, but I just touch on it quickly. There are hundreds of people who've been the door for me in the journey, and so helpful. Many people who've helped with the windows of opportunity for me to understand the gospel. At 18 years of age, I would have called myself a Christian, but I had my hands on the steering wheel of my life. I was still in control of it. And it was through this beautiful couple who were the parents to a girl that I was dating that I came to understand that you can have a personal relationship with the Lord, but it requires you take your hands off the steering wheel, slide over, and let him be the Savior and Lord of your life and in control of your direction. And I'm so grateful. And I think about the blessed piece and what they did. They began with prayer. They were praying for me when they first met me. And I'm sure they were concerned about their daughter being with me. And that's why there was an urgency to the praying. I know. They listened to me in my story, and I just longed to go to college. Nobody in our family had gone to college. I really wanted to go to college. How could I do that? They just listened to my story. We ate together. I first met them at a dinner at their home. And I'll never forget that dinner because he had us join hands and pray. And I had not prayed around that kind of circular experience before. And then he opened up the scriptures and read from the Bible while we were there. It was so awkward and uncomfortable. I'd never experienced that before. But I remember in the prayer thinking to myself, this is family. This is family. It was speaking to something in here. And then they served me. They helped me figure out the college to go to and actually gifted some financial resource to help me get there. And then they shared, of course, how it is you have a personal relationship with the Lord. And I chose to receive Christ in a whole new way. Changed everything in my life, as I've already said. Most important thing, it changed my eyes and how I see Jesus. I had believed God was God, that Jesus was his son. I just didn't understand the weight of the personal love and the benefit it was for me in my journey. And now I did. And I began to see for the first time the beautiful feet of Jesus on the Via Dolorosa when he went to Calvary's cross to suffer for my sin. And I was undone by his beautiful feet. He was stripped of his clothes. His sandals were taken off by force. Then he gives us this beautiful commission to go make disciples of all nations, for us to volunteer our feet to go in the places that take people who are far away from God and introduce them to the story of God's love, and then he does the rest of the work. And I go, I want to be part of that. I want to be part of a church that is part of that, because we want people to experience that goodness. So in the preparation for this message and the own call of God on my life on this, I was convinced that I need to make clear to you, our church, my intention to raise the bar. This is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to take off my shoes, and I want these feet to be beautiful feet. I want these feet to go and to bless as God has instructed and as he's given me power to go and to bless. That's my intention. And I'm making that statement to you with the accountability that I know that everything in my life that matters is because of him. And I know everything that matters in the life of others is because of him. And I want to go and not be so occupied in the job and everything else before me that I just stop going. This is the call. But then, as I thought about it, I don't want to be alone in that. I want to invite you to join me. That if you believe God is calling you to go and to bless people in your sphere of influence and the here part of ministry, then I'm going to invite you to symbolically do the same, to take off your shoes and to leave them here. And this week, we'll make it available all week, because I realize some of you might not be able to take off the specific shoes that you have on for some specific reason. You may have good reason to not be able to do that. And so there's no shame here at all. But a symbolic gesture to take them off to say, I want my feet to go where God wants me to go and to bless those whom God wants me to bless. I'm going to pray in a moment. And during the singing, you are welcome to come wherever you are in Woodside and Minnetonka here to the front. Just put the shoes here. We're going to give them away to charity. So at the end of the service, you're not coming back to put them on again. They're going away to homeless people and other partners in ministry that we're serving alongside. At first hour, I had somebody come up to me and they go, you know what? I bought those shoes a week ago. They were my new favorite shoes. I love that. I go, isn't that great? God gave his best. You just gave your best. Perfect. We'll give them away. I'm going to give my shoes, which are my favorite shoes. At the end of the day, 5 o'clock service, I'm going to be there. So that's the invitation. If you want to symbolically step into that gesture, I want to invite you to do that. Why don't you stand? We'll pray together. And then you're welcome to come after my prayer. Father, thank you for presence, because you set the example. You so loved the world that you sent Jesus to come into the messiness of my own yard. You became present to me. And Lord, open the door of my soul to better understand in new ways the windows of opportunity through that extravagant love gift of not only helping needs, but helping to meet felt needs, but helping to meet the spiritual needs, to know that my heart belongs to you first and foremost. And then by the power of the Holy Spirit, you persuaded me that you are indeed God and your Son is the living Christ who gives us life today, the kingdom of earth in anticipation of the kingdom of heaven, fully realized that day when we leave this place to be with you face to face. What a gift that is. Lord, look with your eyes upon us. Many of us are going to take off our shoes as a symbolic gesture that we want to have beautiful feet that will go and that will bless. And all of us want to step into that, but symbolically, many will come representative of our church as a whole. And Lord, with your authority in heaven and earth, use us to be your instruments. Bring a wave of revival and new faith in the story of love revealed in Jesus Christ, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. You're welcome to come if you'd like to take off your shoes.